Pacific Island countries have played a key role in making the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons come into force. Last week, the treaty reached its 50th ratification at the United Nations, paving the way for nuclear weapons to be deemed illegal under international law. 10 of the 50 countries who ratified the treaty are Pacific Island nations. Yet there's a lot of other countries who haven't ratified it, and that includes the 9 declared nuclear weapons states who possess most of the world's nukes. Fijian academic Vanessa Griffin is a member of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons. I asked her about the significance of the treaty coming into effect.
In 90 days, it will be illegal to possess and so on and have nuclear weapons and all the things around their production. And, you know, that has been declared part of international law now that these weapons are illegal. Even if you say, look, this treaty we will not ever take part in, we don't agree with it, it is not what we wish, you still possess weapons that are now illegal and prohibited. They're banned.
So can you rock up to the United States and say, well, you're breaking international law, we're going to take you to some court, there's going to be some legal avenue?
No, I don't think that really is the process or intention. The possessors of those weapons, the users of it, disagree and say they will not take part. But over time, you basically are working in an environment of possessing and intending to use banned illegal weapons under international law. So the idea is over time, you're holding weapons that are held in great disregard and are illegal. So even investments in them, that changes many banks or superannuation funds. You have a whole part of the campaign which is about the money that goes into nuclear weapons. And do you, after these weapons are banned, want to be a fund funding the further development of banned, you know, weapons? So things like that contribute to, actually, it's the delegitimizing. They are illegitimate weapons now, or in 90 days' time. And for the countries possessing them, you know, that's what you have. You have those. You can respond in whatever ways you want. But the change is that there's now a norm saying these are illegal. There was not a norm saying those were illegal until you had the treaty. And then now when it comes into force, that is actually, yes, part of international law. These are illegal weapons under international law.
Pacific Island countries have played a key part in this treaty, haven't they? As indeed they have throughout the anti-nuclear movement.
They have indeed. And there was a huge movement against nuclear testing, and that went on for decades. And it also was about the independence of Pacific states, you know, feeling that we were territories or colonies and used. And then, you know, I often say this even when I speak, that we did that for 30 years. And in fact, the test stopped when France wanted to stop its last test. And the damage is still there and so on. And what I feel is our Pacific independent countries have really come forward and used their position as states in the United Nations to support this process of then approach to banning the weapons. And they did play an important part. And I should say one can be very proud that 10 Pacific region states were part of the ratification that allowed this treaty to come into force. And the last, you know, literally in the last 3 names, there is Nauru, which ratified, and before that Tuvalu ratified just a few weeks ago, and before that you had all the other Pacific states coming forward. The ratifications. So they have indeed played an important role. And many of the campaigners, including in ICANN, have, you know, paid tribute to the many states around the world, from Latin America and the Caribbean, from the Pacific, you know, from Asia, all the other countries they point out helped contribute to the treaty coming into force. We must pay tribute to the model that New Zealand has presented to the world itself. I do recall when I joined ICANN, there was a resolution led by New Zealand, and literally that was my first lobbying experience within ICANN, that it was supporting, we must begin process of negotiating a treaty. So, you know, great tribute to New Zealand as well.
Why haven't the rest of Pacific Island countries signed on yet? Some of the big Pacific Island countries, Papua New Guinea and Solomon Islands.
There's sometimes reasons. I'm often sympathetic to the many issues Pacific states are dealing with, and they are, even if they're large countries, they often are small states in terms of their personnel. But we have, just in September, I'm very pleased to say the Young Soul Borough, the Pacific Network, a youth network, and MISA for the Pacific Island Students Association, they really did a particular drive to get the last remaining Pacific states to ratify. And I do think that was influential as well, and it was new for them to approach our Pacific countries urging ratification. So I think our urging of the other Pacific states to ratify, and in fact all other states in the world that haven't, is still an ongoing process, that we don't just stop with 50. You actually want to show how many countries really do want this ban to come into effect. So I see we do have a few more Pacific countries, but I think we can work on them and get them to join.
There are few parts of the world who have been as affected by nuclear testing as the Pacific Islands, right?
Yes, that is of quite significance of how victim assistance and environmental remediation, Article 6, could then be a new means of looking at the Pacific's experience of nuclear testing. And how states now, I think, can act collectively to look at how victim assistance and environmental remediation may be implemented under this treaty, and how Pacific states can benefit from that or collectively make contributions based on their experience. Because the environmental risk of the Runet Dome in the Marshall Islands is actually now and continuing. And then I'm always concerned about Maui Nui, French Polynesia, which is still a colony of France. It's an occupied area. How does its 30 years of nuclear testing, how are they going to be affected by the treaty, and how can its content help? I know they also, you know, support this international legal instrument, because it makes a statement about nuclear weapons. You're absolutely right. And that was something even I could reflect on when I'd, you know, sort of come back after many years of break to have the world looking at nuclear weapons and their banning. I just, you know, had this moment of seeing our part of the world and how much we contributed without our wishes or will to the development of those weapons. And that's been part of the message to Pacific states when we were lobbying them, that really we may seem small as states and have always taken that position of feeling we are small, insignificant states, but in terms of nuclear weapons and nuclear disarmament, we should absolutely be there in the forefront of even the actions now in implementing this treaty, because we have an experience that is unfortunately unique. We are the only territory, or surely, where the sea is involved.
That's Vanessa Griffin of the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons.